I think we're all here today. The Dark will be here, so we can come to order. And get through stuff tonight and out by 9 if we can. So let me just do the roll. Katrina Bowles.
Here.
Greg Coffin.
Here.
John Conway.
Here.
Cody Darr.
Here.
And here, Tony Grove.
Here.
Jen Hedrick.
Here.
And Kim and Bill Whitekemper will not be able to join us tonight. Kim Krause and Bill Whitekemper. So we need to approve tonight's agenda. So if we can please review that and suggest any changes or corrections. And it looks like next week we are in room 1A again, not this room.
Did, under new business, did we receive a letter from on the integrated management? I was looking for that today.
I gave that to you.
And paper? And paper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that the staff report, or did you have a separate one?
Dated February the 10th, 2016.
Did it get, posted to the website?
I sent it
with everybody tonight. I've been back in town less than an hour. I've been gone for several days, so let me get myself pulled together.
See that one? Yep.
I don't see it on the website. But...
I thought it was going to be in the stuff that Carol emailed out today.
This is,
here we go.
IMP information part one. IMP.
Is that what was in the report? I know I had this in.
I found it. It is on the website under miscellaneous.
Yes. Right.
Attachment.
Documents miscellaneous if you're on the website.
So does everybody have access to it? All right. Okay, anything else on the agenda?
Maybe they don't have it. That's a scope of services. I thought they had that report here.
Two copies of it. Somebody wants paper one.
Oh, I have that one. That one is posted on there. Is that what you're referring
is
to?
Is that what we're talking? Yeah, I was going to say, is that different?
Yep.
That is the one that's on the web under miscellaneous.
Yes.
IMP information, part one and two.
Can I see that hard copy now?
Okay. So can someone move to it? Move to approve this?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
We're going to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay, very
good. We'll get our momentum here.
Okay, so then we have minutes from the 12th and the 19th.
On the minutes of the July the 19th, I guess I was expecting to see a summary of the substation analysis that, if you recall, had net excess capacity of 2 megawatts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan went through another presentation of the development of the Mill Creek substation and another analysis based upon that that revealed was it 10 or 12 megawatts? 14 megawatts. And I find that to be significant.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow should be incorporated into the minutes.
Okay, well, that is very substantive. I mean, we can do two things about that. Is one, we can attach the PowerPoint presentation to the to the minutes.
There we go.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
But instead of approving these with revisions, we could table approval of these and look at it updated. I mean, we do both or either.
Well, let's see, is it an option that if we all agree that we will...
Just integrate the minute, or the PowerPoint into the minutes.
Yeah, amend or revise the minutes where the minutes will reflect an attachment that is the PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Is that good with everybody?
Yes.
That will save more writing, so that's good. The 19th. Okay. I get a move to approve with the suggested revisions.
I make that motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Let's look at the 12th.
I did think we had more dialogue than that, but for the amount of notes that were written, just a general comment.
That was primarily a discussion meeting. That's
mm-hmm.
true. Trying to think of a straightforward way to amend that without...
Was that the meeting we were trying to go off your phone? Mm-hmm. Or did we have... Mm-hmm. We had somebody taking notes that night?
I think that's the 12th.
I think that was the meeting that we were on my phone, but, you know, the quality of that was shockingly high. So
I don't think that was the one.
That was,
that was the 12th.
The 12th. It was the same one we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
Or the 9th. I was looking at that.
I was here the 12th, but not the 19th, and that night we did have somebody here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yes.
Taking notes.
Jenny was here, mm-hmm. I believe.
It was Chris. We were in 1A last time.
Last time. Yeah. Right, we're talking about the 12th, though.
Oh, the 12th. Yeah, no, yeah. We were here.
Yeah. Well, let's do table these then, and I'll talk to Carol about it. And I think you sent me your notes too from that meeting.
This was not Katrina. The 12th was not the meeting that we were on your phone. We had somebody here, and okay. I'm looking back at my notes from that meeting, and I think this is a pretty good summary. I mean, we really just discussed them and what kind of how we wanted to change the recommendations according to my notes. I don't have a ton of notes either, so. I think it really was mostly just a discussion.
Okay.
And I think we were adjusting the document as we went, more so than...
Right.
On the 12th?
Yes,
yeah.
On the 12th.
Well, we could put in add a sentence that says the... recording is with our meeting information on the city's website for the task force.
That'd be good.
Great. All right. So with that revision, are we ready to approve these?
I move to approve the July 12th minutes.
Thank you.
I second the motion.
Okay. In favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So the first item of new business is to talk a little bit about the interim report. I think at the end of the 19th minutes, there was a paragraph describing this, but in brief, I had a discussion with Brian Treese a couple weeks ago to talk about extending the deadline a little bit on this task force work, and we also talked about the fact that there was an interim report written into the ordinance that established the task force, and I think we're past the original due date on that, but what we discussed was instead of focusing on a intensely substantive interim report, rather to focus the interim report on an update on where we're at and what the plan is for finishing out the task force's work, including an outline of our content or an outline of what we intend to include in the content, and then a description of the format of the report. So, if that makes sense to folks, I would like to get that.
Yeah, I agree on that because I think we don't want to start putting recommendations in an interim report that we haven't fully vetted out.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Until
absolutely.
We discuss them.
Okay.
But I do think progress and timetable for completion is appropriate.
Okay.
I agree.
So, prior to April, is there... Can you guys give me some advice on what the best way to pull together the sort of highlights are? I mean, we've obviously got the recommendations pieces, it looks like. Are all the presentations that were given, would their PowerPoints and information be up on the website?
The electric's not on there yet, but...
Yeah, but...
But that's the only one.
Yep.
Okay. So is that going to be... A good starting point, at least for that, is to include the dates that different drafts were reviewed, presentations given. Are there other...
Do we need to provide dates or more than just a status? I mean, could we just say that all presentations by the city have been...
Give a list of them.
Given a list of them, not to really provide the date, and then...
Okay.
The following areas have been reviewed and draft recommendations that have been identified. Because really, that's kind of how I think storm sewer are pretty well, and roads are in
mm-hmm.
good place, and electric and is really the last one to really work on.
So, I guess my question is there anything that happened before April that is notable that we should include that I can't understand happened from looking at the website and such?
I think the process has been very similar, where we've had presentation, we've had group discussion, then we've come up with, individuals have come up with recommendations, brought them to the group. We've reviewed those in a very similar format, updated some of the documents live.
I do think it's probably relevant that we maybe also list outside speakers that came in and spoke to the group, in addition to city council, or excuse me, city employees, city staff.
Yes, we had Ian Thomas presented the developer group. I wasn't there for that, but there were
Randy Coyle and Tim Crockett.
Looks like there was a
gentleman from the Boone County Senator.
Tom Roderman.
That was after April.
Did we have any before
April?
I don't know that we did.
Well, we take the tour of the treatment
plant. Oh, yes. Yeah. Any other tours?
Maybe include the temperature of the day that you guys went to.
We may want to note that through the course of discussion and recommendations, and along with recommendations to each individual infrastructure, that we've also begun to pull out or identify more global recommendations that aren't general to all infrastructure. Although we haven't really formalized that, we have definitely been identifying some that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Cover multiple, or globally cover the infrastructure issues. We also have been given, I don't know that we've thoroughly reviewed all of the documentation, but at the very beginning we were provided with a pretty large volume of previous reports that had been completed studies and reports. Again, we were presented with those, but
especially with stormwater.
But they were so
voluminous
that I'm not. I definitely will stand and say that I didn't give those enough. I didn't give those adequate review. But we've had them available if we wanted them.
Okay, so I should be able to do the timeline based on that.
What is your general feeling on the timeline going forward?
open up my calendar here.
You discussed October, correct?
Okay.
Yeah, we discussed the end of the end of October. One of the things that we've talked about doing is having some public hearings, and we talked about that in the context of infrastructure financing issues. Do we also want to have public hearings to vet our next to final draft of recommendations? Yes, I'm sorry, Ted.
John, we took the mayor's advice. We put on a resolution extending this to November 7th.
Oh, November 7th.
For the final report.
Okay, great.
It'll be on Monday night.
Okay.
So I want you to be aware of that. If we stepped out of line, let us know, and we can have that pulled tomorrow.
Nope, that's...
Seems doable. We'll force ourselves to finish.
Right.
Yeah, I think the intent was that way, that I think to be able to get on the agenda, we've got to have it basically ready at the end of October, the very first of November to make the schedule.
Yeah.
And that's November 7th, 2016.
Yes.
You bet it is, John.
Yeah. Just wanted to be sure.
I can always take the year off if you wish.
Thank you. That sounds good.
So the day before the election day, was it?
Be the day before the election day.
Before election.
Yeah, nobody will have anything to think about on that day.
Yeah, day of history.
Every day is a day of history.
Personally, on
November 8th, is that the election day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. On the public review, I would like to just kind of questioning the necessity for us to do it, even. I guess I just need help being convinced that it's...
Oh, that's good.
It's I second that.
Value.
I don't know how that would work in answering a group's opinion.
I think we're not intended to be a public hearing type, but we were tasked with doing this with public input, you know, which is happens at every meeting. We have people that can listen in and do it, but as far as taking it a step further as having, you know, a public hearing type thing seems...
What would the goal be of that, and what would our response be, or what would we do with that?
Well, it would be the equivalent of, and I really hate this term, but I think in this case it's appropriate, but a listening session, in that it would be an I think there are two reasons to do it, and, you know, when we were figuring out the issue of when to have people participate in these meetings, I was given advice about two ways to handle that. One is the way that we have been doing with a public comment section at the end. But the other one was to have public hearings at some point specific to the recommendations. You know, I will defer to the majority of the group, but I think there are two important reasons to think about doing these. And one is if the task force does that, you know, does that part of the exercise as opposed to council or down the road, then the community has a sense of what they're going to get when it becomes an official report and nobody's surprised and they've had a chance to express their concerns or agreement.
Does that mean we post it prior, like a week prior, a day prior?
I would suggest posting a draft, final draft, for comment.
Right.
And that the concept would be that we're not there to answer questions about it.
Right.
But we're there to hear or listen to feedback.
Right.
So if someone has an idea that we hadn't thought of or has a concern or a recommendation, we can hear it. And if we need to go back and edit or change something, we have that opportunity before we submit it to council.
Right, or at least respond to concerns, and then the public hearing comments become part of our report to begin with.
I like that it takes it a step further, because, I mean, we have a lot of meetings, and people can't necessarily show up to every meeting or know exactly what we're talking about at every meeting, so I think it gives them an opportunity to look at the whole thing as one big piece and comment if they have questions about any portions of it.
And I was thinking about it, and maybe this might not be enough time, but I think it probably would. So maybe like our next to last four meetings or a couple meetings before that, you just have an hour for each of the topic areas of the report. So for each infrastructure type. So we have an hour.
Not all at once.
If we do it all at once.
Yeah, that's a lot of extra meetings if you do. That's five extra meetings just to go through.
Well, I'm just saying add it on.
As a part of.
As part of our meetings. So we'd spend an hour working on things and have an hour.
But the report wouldn't be in final draft at that point in time. We'd still be drafting it.
Right, but the sections could be. The sections should be.
Could be.
Why not do it all as one?
Well, one, I think it would be fairly
cumbersome,
confusing. I mean, it could be really confusing to have people speaking to each of the different types of infrastructure in one big free-for-all.
Based on the amount of interest we've had from the public, which really storm sewers draw a lot in the beginning, but that it's since kind of waned off to where I don't think we're going to get a whole room full of people that want to comment, unless there's something controversial in this report that people don't like.
Well, there will be, because there is in every report something everyone somebody doesn't like. Just by definition.
It's a reality.
Yeah.
I mean, could we not do it in sections? You know, just thinking about how the council meetings go, where you talk about a section and people can comment on that section and then go to the next one and then people can comment on that one. But do it in one or two sessions instead of five?
Yeah, I think if we did those kind of sessions where it's just an open public hearing about the report.
I think we'd at least get it down to three if we grouped sanitary sewer and sewer together,
or
sanitary together, and then do roads and then do electric.
I'd like to do it all in one.
I would prefer to do it in one also. I don't think that we're going to get that many people.
It just has to dedicate one whole meeting to it, and if we need to separate the comments into...
I don't anticipate a lot of people on the electric because it's only affecting the downtown area and it doesn't... There'll be people that come out for roads. And then the sewer, I see the sewer, both storm and sanitary, being the largest interest level.
I think that when we talk about different kinds of funding issues, that people are going to be, or might have more interest in that than anything else.
How about a compromise of doing the sewers together and doing roads and electric together?
Yeah, that works.
And as standalone meetings or tacked on to meetings where we're going to be discussing other stuff?
I think they should be standalone, personally. So then they don't have to come and sit through whatever we're talking about prior to it.
Right. The other model I've seen would be to do like a meeting for the report and to have essentially the same meeting twice at different times when people are more likely to be available.
Sure.
So an early weekday evening meeting, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And since they would be mostly listening meetings, I mean, we need to have a quorum for sure, but we might be able to ease people's responsibility a little bit.
I always like to work with the end in mind, so usually when we're faced with a challenge, a schedule, try to hit a deadline. We hit the deadline and we work backwards to see if you can achieve it.
Right.
So I think at this juncture, if we think we're going to be in a position to submit a final drafted report clean, ready to go to the council on the 7th, we've got to work a schedule backwards and determine.
No, it has to be submitted before the 7th.
Before the 7th?
Right.
Yes.
How early before the 7th?
I would guess
2 weeks?
A week and a half or something.
What's the.
Did you put it on council agenda?
Council agenda.
If we're going to submit the final, if this final is reviewed on the 7th of November, when do we have to have it in the hands?
23rd of September, October.
You just about made me fall out of my
I know.
That's a Sunday.
Friday after council meeting?
21st
of October, and is that like by end of day we submit it, or is that by noon?
It's the 28th, wasn't it?
Yeah, it'd be the 28th.
I'm sorry, 21st, wrong one. October. No, we got an extra Monday. It'd be the 28th.
28th?
Yeah.
28th of October.
So you got to squeeze two meetings.
Got 5 Mondays. I didn't know we had that extra week if we had that extra.
Prior to that. Plus, get all the time to draft it.
Yeah, well, and then, what is our goal? Let's just say that during the public review session, good point is raised or something that causes us to go back and reevaluate, reword, rework, read.
I think that we turn in the verbatim comments and let them stand on their own.
Okay.
The other thing I would recommend is it's really difficult, as we've experienced here, and I've been involved in other committees trying to write a report with this many people. It's extremely difficult. To write a report that way, is that we assign one or two people to each category to take the lead in drafting and writing a report, getting it edited, and bringing it back to the group for final review. Because like the content is mostly there, and as long as we have a format to follow, I do think that it would be beneficial if the city administrative staff could help us with, once the words are all there, getting it in the right format, you know, font, you know, paragraphing and everything. But at least that we set individuals in, or teams to focus on writing, because that'll be go a lot faster.
I agree.
And since I suggested I would actually volunteer to do one category, don't know which one, whichever one.
The biggest one.
Largest.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any problem writing or doing whatever.
By writing, just so I can clarify, because we've already written at least the summaries for
roads.
Two of them, definitely. I don't know if we're considering that.
But to go, but really, you almost need to go through them and just make sure the language is correct and make sure that, I mean, get it to a much more refined, and then reformatting it to the, because we talked about doing a very small executive summary,
right.
A high level list of recommendations, and then a little more supporting statements, and then another list of recommendations. If I recall, that's what we were
right.
planning to do. So just to reformat the one we did for Stormwater would have to be redone, and same thing with roads.
So you're talking about reformatting. You're not really talking about like rewriting the whole thing. Just reorganization.
It's a lot of cut and paste, and you might realize there's some sentences don't read right and need to be changed. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Not really changing the content more than just getting it in a more final draft format.
And each one would be organized by operation and policy.
Policy, finance.
And we're going to spend the time to set up an exact template of how we want those all to match.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so those, they'll all be the exact same. Okay.
So does it make sense to go ahead and do those assignments in terms of laying out the timeline? I'm sorry, Kim and...
Well, we could definitely start on some of the format for maybe the streets and stormwater, but I don't think we're far enough along on the sanitary or the downtown electric to really assign that for anybody.
If I had a format, I'd be glad to do stormwater. I mean, Kim and I drafted that one together.
Okay.
Or I'll be glad to do electric, either one of them. And John might want to do electric because
I'll do electric.
Background on the
on
the board.
I'll be glad to do that.
So I'll take stormwater, and if Kim will assist
or
Katrina to help me on that. We can work together, go back and forth. And
Stormwater? Oh, that's what you just said.
I'll do stormwater.
Sewer?
Bill will want to.
Oh, yes, Bill will want to.
I'll work with Bill.
You'll work with Bill. That would be great.
I can take streets on.
Okay.
Do you need any assistance with that?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, toss it back and forth and stuff, yeah.
My concern about setting like an ironclad template, though, I mean, do you think we're going to be able to all fit?
I don't think we have one yet.
I don't think we have one yet, but what I'm saying is when we do have one, we'll... Are we going to be missing, or my concern is, I mean, every utility's very
it'll
different.
It'll end up being a debt. We'll have to. You're right. We'll
do right. It. I mean, it's good.
Just
gonna,
have an outline. Really just need an outline, format outline.
Yeah.
Because you're right. There could be differences between the reports just because of the...
Right.
But the executive summary and the high-level recommendations should look very similar each section.
I just don't want something to get, you know, not necessarily left out, but... If you're trying to fit something into something, it sometimes gets things get left out.
What about the an overview and global recommendations?
I
you anticipate an overall executive summary?
Maybe, I'm sorry.
And do you anticipate an overall executive summary and list of
I think global? A lot of the update that we give, the interim update for the council, actually can be pretty easily converted into
to that. That's right.
Our approach, process, executive summary type thing, just because, again, we'll have a lot of that information which we'll want to lead off the report.
But we'll have this list of global recommendations and where do mm-hmm. they where do they park themselves?
Yeah, are they at the beginning?
Or is that could just be a page by it, or section by itself?
I think it's a section by itself.
Yeah, I do too.
They wouldn't really need an executive summary, just a list of standard global recommendations.
Or we can have a very brief summary that says through the course of.
I think that global recommendations are probably where the finance pieces are going to come in. Mm-hmm. So that'll probably be a section, I would imagine.
Well, what do you mean? Because I thought global would be standalone from each of our separate sections.
I thought it would be standalone as well. Something that would impact more.
It wouldn't necessarily be broken down in finance.
It would have to be more than one section to be considered a global recommendation. So it may not affect all of them, but it would impact
two at least. And they might be. It might be in two places, right?
Correct.
Like we might want it to be in that section, then also clearly say this is a global recommendation, but here's how it works in streets.
So for each global recommendation, we copy and paste that into each applicable infrastructure discipline?
I don't know if it'll be copy and paste or more a sentence that sort of references or describes how it would happen in the specific type of infrastructure.
Just feel like we might be getting redundant, but
yeah, I mean, it will sort itself out as we do it, I think.
I think there will be some redundancy, but the fact of the matter is that 9 out of 10 people are probably only going to read the global one anyways.
They're going to go to the one that's the hot one for them, whether it's in storm or sanitary.
Right.
Whatever, that's the one that they're going to.
Talk about the dates for working backwards for when.
I think we need a date. I think we need the whole schedule figured out.
Sure.
I agree with Greg. Make sure we can actually hit it.
I mean, as far as recommendations and draft, the electric's the last one to go. I don't sense that based on what we saw as a lengthy exercise. So it's almost like we can start, probably middle of August, actually starting to draft and review reports.
Yes. So if the final report needs to be submitted on the 28th, then we probably need to be done with meetings on the 18th. Does that make sense? I guess we could hold the last meeting the week of the 25th, of the 24th, but that would be, could that be public hearing week if what we're going to do with those is include them as comments?
Well, how long would it take? I mean, because city staff would have to be the ones to
transcribe
that. Yeah, transcribe that. So
yep, that's
likely
right.
They would need more than a
yeah.
couple of days or a week. Do we anticipate needing any follow-up meetings after the public hearing? If we're not discussing...
See, that was what my concern was.
What their comments are, then maybe not, but just a question.
Yeah, to me, if it's something simple that we dismissed, and it would be just a change of a few things, but if someone takes off a completely different tangent, I mean, it may just... realize we need to add another recommendation, have it studied further with a different task force or committee or study or something of that nature.
But it could be a simple recommendation like that, like this needs right. further study, right?
Right.
So maybe we need to have...
identified in the public hearing.
Maybe we right. need to plan to be able to have one final meeting before we submit the final report after the public hearings.
So... do the hearings the week of the 10th of October? Which would give us 9 weeks between now and then.
Should be doable.
Yep.
Nothing like a deadline.
Yeah, we're early. Bad. I had a deadline oriented.
I like deadlines too.
I don't have them. Good luck. So, let's do the 28th. We need to submit it to city staff by, what do you say, the 14th? It'd be 2 weeks for them to clean it up, button it up.
But you'd want to clean up, button up before you do your public meetings.
Yeah, no, I was thinking it would be.
You're right.
Could we do the public meetings in 1 week? I think we'd be willing to give up 2 nights.
Like a Tuesday and a Wednesday?
Just to get so the public meetings are all done in 1 week, and then we come back and reconvene 1 week later, discuss it, see if we need to make any minor changes, and then finalize and submit.
I think that's
I'd be willing
good.
To do that just to get some closure.
So the 11th and 12th.
I like you guys. I got other things to do.
Fourth
and fifth.
Probably
the 11th and 12th.
So everybody, go home and put this on your calendars.
Is there a more typical time public meetings or public hearings are held? Like a recommended time?
As far as day or?
Time of day? Any time?
No, if we do like an open house, we straddle the closure of
4 to 6.
4 to 6, 4 to 7, somewhere there. It's an open house type thing.
I'm kind of going back with what Cody recommended a little bit ago about having one meeting. Why couldn't we have one meeting one night, and for the first hour and a half or 2 hours, it's sewer, it's sanitary storm sewer, and then for the next hour and a half, it's roads and electric. And so if anybody just wants to come for that piece they're most interested in, they can come for that and go, or they can stay for the whole thing. I think it basically would be like a 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock event, but...
then it's done.
It's done. Versus giving up another evening. And some people, there's going to be people that want to see the whole thing, and they would be giving up 2 nights as well.
Right. I think either one of those options would work just fine. So really, what...
being able to post, though, that between this time and this time is reserved for electric and... even if nobody comes, nobody shows up, or whatever, we're not going to move on to storm or sanitary or whatever until that next time slot.
It also helps drive the meeting. When it's over, it's over.
Right, and
right.
If, you know, say we set an hour and a half for the sewer, and we're done in an hour, and we could take that last 30 minutes to discuss what was just talked about, presented, and you know, be prepared to edit the document when we get together next time.
So is there a preference?
Essentially got two ideas on the table, a couple nights, splitting up the topics, or a longer meeting that spans the workday into the non-workday and is organized with time slots for each topic.
Well, personally, for one meeting.
Yeah. Same here.
Can we just start at 4 and go till it...
Four, I don't even five, think it would six, necessarily seven. Need to be a 3 or 4 hour meeting.
2 hours each, I would think it'd be
45 minutes per. What are we? Now we
need 2 hours of meeting. Do I need to bring my sleeping bag with me?
45 minutes per topic for 4 topics is 3 hours.
3 hours, yeah. Yeah, we could set it up more like. You know, sometimes open houses are set up where we have the copies of recommendations for each infrastructure category, an easel. We've got the highest level bullet points on a poster board of some kind, and people can sort of mill around. I'm not sure we would call that a public hearing, but we could call it an open meeting or just
an informal open house. So it's called a public meeting.
A public meeting, forum. Right.
But you didn't normally have a subject expert stand there by each one or what you all discussed. They can discuss it and they can make comments about it. If you have comment cards, usually right there, they write in the comments. But some people don't like getting up and talking to a microphone. So you gotta kind of weigh that out.
And some people like it too
yep.
much. Right.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
So...
I do like to comment. If we're going to do that, I do like to comment card.
I think you have to have the comment cards or else it won't be of very much value to us. I mean, right. Maybe for individual people, but if we can't convey that to the whole group, it really right. isn't any value.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, we can even ask, have as part of the announcement for the meeting, that if people want to bring in their prepared written notes, they're welcome to. We'll
yeah, we can still publish it,
yep.
have it available mm-hmm. publicly.
Included in
a
the
week
public
before
record,
or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
So that they
would you
can
still have prepared. A public comment period in front of the mic if you did that format?
Are we talking about kind of doing a mesh of the two so that people could come and give written comments and or they could come and talk in front of the mic? Is that what you're kind of
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. If there was
I've never been to a meeting that was a combination of them.
Yeah, I haven't either. I personally would just prefer to one meeting that people come up to the microphone and talk, and if they want to have written comments, we can definitely encourage them to do that, to do it.
The advantage of that is we all get to hear them.
Yeah.
Right.
And we can hear it all at the same time.
Right.
As opposed to comment cards, and then we distribute them to everybody afterwards, and then we have to have another meeting to go over what was said. I mean, but it's a personal feeling, I think. And, I mean, I'm coming at this that I think I definitely see there is value, but I just see it as a limited value to what we are giving the council anyway from the public comment part of this. They will, when they, any of these recommendations they want to implement, they will have public hearings on them at that time.
I was going to say, I mean, isn't it at council level, everybody's going to get a chance to talk? But.
Well, it'll just be a report. I assume it'll just be a report on there, so it won't
right.
necessarily be a public hearing when
right.
they
okay.
read the report. But so, I mean, I do see value in it. I just, it's limited. I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time on it, and I want it to be as efficient as possible, too.
mean, we have had open opportunity for people to come speak at each one of these meetings.
Right, but they haven't had a set of recommendations that they're responding
True.
To. I think that's the big difference.
Well, and then we provide that last step.
Right.
And again, they're recommendations. They're not mandates. So
that's
the council's decision to turn them into a mandate.
Right. Okay, so one meeting, public hearing style. Do we have consensus? Everybody comfortable?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Good here.
Jen, you okay?
I'm good, yeah.
Okay.
You still think that's going to be the week of October 10th?
I think that allows us room to put in one more meeting with just us mm-hmm. in those next 2 weeks.
But it does mean we'll probably have to have the final draft ready for staff cleanup at least a week prior.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say post it for the public 1 week.
Yeah, it needs to, if the meetings are...
That'd be 2 weeks before.
What is an appropriate amount of time for the document to be posted before the meeting?
That's a good question. I don't think a week's enough.
I think a week's plenty.
All material, oh, for before our meeting?
Before the public meeting. I think that if we're going to have a public meeting, they need to have time to
read through it. Yeah.
Are we thinking the 11th or the 12th for the public meeting right now?
Mm-hmm. So post on by the 5th?
Basically, we have now, we'll have 4 to 5 pages. Is that for each? Or would that be less? Some are a little bit longer than others, but I think we're not looking at more than 4 or 5 pages per topic. So you're looking at 20 to 25 pages of editing, and if it's not... If it's formatting, and it's not going to take a significant amount of time just to format.
Hopefully,
those.
We'll be pretty close. Right. This is just
right.
We'll so be in different documents. They need to be put into one document, and
so
right.
Yeah, it'll all be typed up in Word. And
then we may want to get staff's opinion on whether they can have that time available to get formatting done in a week of a 25-page report.
So that would put us at giving them all our information on the 28th.
I mean.
September 28th.
They're writing it, they're just cleaning it up.
If they need 2 weeks?
Well, that's 1 week for them, and then 1 week of posted time.
I don't know that, I mean, I think that's a lot of posted time.
What, 1 week?
A week? That's enough or not enough?
Typically, documents get posted, how far in advance do documents have to be ready for council?
If you do a public hearing at council, if it's a project, it's a 30-day advertisement normally. Because
week
federal funds and stuff, you got to have a 30-day period. But if it's just strictly a state or a city-funded project, it'd be 2 week posting. You'd have a first read and a second read. So you'd have 2 weeks in there, basically.
Right.
But would that apply to something like this?
We're not active.
I would recommend that you have two postings, one a week apart, have 2 weeks, and post it 1 week. Schedule. I would not hurry a public. If you're going to have a public hearing where people come talk, I would not hurry because people will post the first post.
I'd push that public hearing to the week of the 17th then.
Yeah.
And you can set a final meeting.
You don't have to have the thing ready for that. You're just posting a meeting.
Okay, well then we're back to where
the posting house thing we're having a meeting about.
That's fine, but what about posting the notes? And how long does the actual report need to be posted?
No, we can put out there on the web at any time you think it's ready. In those 2 weeks.
What we're trying to figure is what is a week enough for people to get on and read it ahead of the meeting?
Oh, I think so.
Is that typically how it's done? I mean, is to post something like that prior to a meeting so that people have time to take a look at it? Okay.
And obviously,
for council meeting.
Yeah.
You could have copies of it at the meeting.
At the meeting,
Hard copy people could pick up.
Okay, so have the meeting on maybe the 18th or the 19th?
Sure. And then it's posted on the 12th, and we give it to staff on the 5th.
The challenge is if we have a meeting like the 18th or 19th, when will we meet to edit anything prior to submitting it?
October 26th.
The 28th, it's because it's got to go to the council's schedule on the 28th.
Yeah, so the 26th we would do whatever we need to do.
That last week of the 24th we'd have to meet and do any final online editing almost on the screen.
Well, no, I mean, we would have the comments from the 19th, and then so we would meet on the 26th.
25th.
Or the 25th. Yeah.
Every day, Kim?
The 25th, and make any, hopefully, minor changes, and then we'd still have till the 28th to give them the... I mean...
Well, one thing would be that final public comment, all the comments are drafted in written form and included as an appendix in the report.
Right.
And so if the council wants to go see what the people said...
So would that be something that staff would take notes on all the public comments? Would they be doing that, or would we have to keep track of it, or just take a recording and then we do it?
Yeah, we'll probably just do it in chamber, and it will be recorded.
If it's included as an addendum, it would have to be...
It'd be written.
Transcribed.
Transcribed, yeah. So would we be doing that, or would staff... Are they able to do that, or...
How do they do that? Do you guys use voice recognition software, or how does that... Or are they literally transcribing stuff?
Stuff we do in council?
Uh-huh.
They videotape it, and then they also record it, and it's transcribed by clerk staff.
Okay.
And would clerk staff be available to transcribe the public comments?
We would get somebody to do that.
That work, and that includes it as an appendix.
Yeah.
And then if we read through there and realize we need to tweak something in the report we have, or add an additional recommendation.
Okay. We can do that last week.
Okay, so October 25th would be our final meeting, and it would be for very last minute changes.
Based on whatever public comment.
18th or 19th is the public meeting.
Yes, and let's...
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Let's
pick it?
No, let's give... I would like to give Kim and Bill a chance to weigh in on that.
See
if we can... Though, if everybody here can... If you can let me know your availability.
I got all kinds of stuff going on 18th. No, I don't have anything in my calendar that far out.
That far off, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I'm good.
Okay.
Same here.
Are you all right, Tony?
I'm going to be out of the country the first 3 weeks of September, but I'll be back before most of the dates we talked about.
I don't think we voted on that.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about September yet on the schedule.
You said Bill's going to write.
Well, I hope you're going someplace good.
I'm definitely going to review it.
All right, anything else we can do about this report planning and scheduling, including the interim? Just right on your table.
So the final report, everybody, the total final needs to be to the city staff for formatting by September 28th, is that correct? Is that what we agreed to?
Yeah, that's what you said, 28th?
16th, 9th.
September 28th for...
For formatting.
Well, we're going to have public hearing.
About the week of the 3rd.
The 18th and 19th is the public hearing, and then October 12th is public posting of it, and then October 5th,
and the 5th is the
would be
final draft
to staff.
Okay.
I think it's posted to the website the 12th, by the 12th.
The actual document.
Yes.
Okay. So the 5th is the... final report. Okay.
Public hearing the 19th? 18th
through
19th. 18th or 19th. And then we'll meet again either the 25th or the 26th.
Yep.
For editing.
Final
changes October 25th or 26th. done.
So are we planning to meet every week until
we're scheduled through the 30th of August, through the week of the last week of August, and
I would almost schedule the rest of the meetings this way out if we can.
Yeah. What
it's
would
easier
you
to cancel than schedule.
That's true. I could put out a doodle poll for that rest of that time, just to get everybody's availability. That would make sense. We know Tony's going to be someplace else. We hope it's a good place.
Several.
Can we just go with you and do the meetings on the road?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're going to study the infrastructure systems of those other countries.
I'll have my laptop with me. If I don't know Florence, I don't know would be a good one.
They flood all the time.
Florence is pretty awesome.
All right. Just lost it. Here we go. All right. Any last comments on that?
I think on schedule I would recommend it, and I'm not going to be here the next couple of meetings, but by mid-August we should have the format outline established so that basically the rest of August and in the early mid-September maybe has the format can work on the reports and then bring them to the group for review.
You got 11 weeks until the public hearing.
You have 11 weeks until the public hearing.
Yeah.
It's gonna go fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it will. Let's try and put a copy of that, or a draft of the outline on next week's agenda.
We should have everybody back next week.
We don't have everybody
until late August.
Until the last weekend, last week of August, yeah.
Okay.
But we're close the next couple weeks. I think Greg and John are going to be gone in succession.
Fishing in a beautiful place.
People need to vacation in summertime.
I hope you take your laptop with you.
Nope.
Okay, can we switch gears since we have Dave here and move through this integrated management class?
Don't laugh intentionally.
Sorry. So I know that a running question throughout the meetings that I've been at has been exactly how does this fit into our work, right?
Yeah.
And you asked that we address this again, correct?
Right, and I think my notion would be what is the status of the completion of the integrated management plan scope and the other notion is that their scope is way beyond a year, 300 and 400 days.
Contract, I think, probably correctly had 2 years in it, but we're all going to get done somewhere around there.
And so my notion would be then is where are they now? And then given what the task force did in terms of the stormwater and the sewer, visit as the IMP is completed, does it have any merit that the task force should have any inner workings with the development of the IMP?
At least since the fact that it's not even, I mean, it started, but how do we?
Well, let's get an update.
To comment on it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get an update first. So where are we?
Where are we? If you look at the scope, we've had the beginning workshop and our kickoff meeting and visioning workshop. We're focused now on item C and task one, developing the framework that you're having. And they've done a lot of information gathering and I don't know where they're at. Looking at all that stuff that they've got. Started in January, and like I said, a year, I'm thinking more like a year from now, not a year from January, but us finishing in January. We're probably looking at next July or August before we're finished.
And so I guess I'm soliciting feedback or comment from the task force as to maybe basically what should our involvement be, or should we have any involvement?
I personally, I mean, it's already in place. I don't really see any place for us to make a recommendation on it formally, so I don't really see any reason we need to be a part of it. They will take our recommendations as part of their...
That would be the recommendation that we would have, is that they incorporate whatever appropriate recommendations from this task force into this integrated master plan, you know, where appropriate.
Of course, they don't something agree. Like that, but...
Right. Well, always a possibility.
But the council doesn't agree, you know. Right. Our recommendation.
Right.
I think when further discussion, and let's see, David, is the on the listing of the workshops. There's 2, 4, 6. 8, 10 of those, and how are those done, or what's the idea of how those would be?
Which workshops are you talking about?
Oh, it says community outreach workshops.
Community outreach, that we are still in the process of figuring out exactly how we think our workshops would do that. HDR and Shopland Consulting tomorrow to go over some of their ideas.
So who would be involved in those?
It gives two possibilities in the scope. One would be to have an integrated management plan committee to be appointed to lead all that. The other one is to do focus groups. We don't have decided which one would probably be the best to make the best feedback from the most number of people. Ask you a question. Yes, sir. Is there going to do a public hearing? Could that be rolled into that? Somehow. Definitely take into it. It's provided at the public hearing. They'll have to answer. So definitely. Any feedback we can get from anybody in the community, the more we get, the better. The better we're going to be able to tell them. I'm thinking that we may be better off to go to this total number of meetings they had in there with like individual focused topic, and then just go one after the other. And that way, if somebody's interested in one piece of it, but not all of it, they're not forced to sit through the whole thing for months. Mm-hmm.
You haven't started those meetings.
No, like I said, we're having a discussion tomorrow with consultants to try to work out.
Do you see them starting at about the same time we have the public hearing for this one, on the 18th or 19th of October? Would they be overlapping a little bit?
Might be. Depends. Consultant, like I said, he's gathered a lot of data from it, so he's got to do a lot of analysis before he can start presenting that to get feedback. But I mean, if he gets to move it, good, which I think they are, then there's a very good chance that it could be the first one starting up at about the same time you're having your public hearing.
To me, it'd be a good opportunity, at least in the public hearing that we have, is to advertise and announce that this is available, these meetings would be, here's a schedule for all these to get input on.
And we can make that happen.
Because some of the same folks that would be coming to comment on our report will be very interested in participating in your effort.
Right. And our report definitely needs to speak to this process.
And would it I guess what I see is that a little difference of what the IMP is versus the task force is that the IMP is going to have data driven and analysis, and it also have a greater depth to it, and so that may lead to different outcomes than what we did.
As John, don't forget that one of the big things on it is regulatory requirements that are coming in the future.
Yeah,
it's going to drive a lot of how this gets created.
I mean, this is a conformance. This is a conformance group, right? It's the IMP is about planning for appropriate conformance to changes in the Clean Water Act.
To be able to address all the regulatory requirements, at the same time being able to maintain your existing infrastructure and doing it to meet the community determines to be their highest priorities in an affordable manner. It allows us to make smart decisions and to do it affordably without us having whatever FDNR told me today. The topic of the day, you don't address the topic of the day, you get a schedule built out and you address it in a systematic manner. There is going to be a lot of financial analysis in determining what is affordable.
It's a timing thing.
It's not going to tell you how to
comment on what we don't know is there.
And it's going to determine what would be affordable based on different criteria. It'll have how much funding is needed, but how we're going to fund it would have to be determined by the council in the future, whether it's a bond funded raise, however.
Dave, what's the, so when you're talking about you expect it to be next July or August, you're talking about the plan itself. How long is this plan looking at? What time frame is the plan for, in theory?
Probably. I mean, it's going to look out probably 20 years or something. But the realistic piece would probably be only 5 to 10 before you have to do an update.
Before you change it.
You might have new regulation or something else. That would come up.
Is any of it driven by the time of the permit, the permitting, the length of the permit, as to how what time is it good?
The permits can't be issued for more than 5 years.
Yeah,
any compliance schedule that we get, if we get everything worked out, permanent resources would come from that plan, and it would be 5 years. So it only makes sense every 5 years to do a quick update of it. To see how the compliance schedule needs to be
Right.
Our permit's going to be based on that plan.
I guess my I'm sort of flipping John's question, and what the advice we I would like from you all is what parts of the IMP process do we need to acknowledge in the task force report? Or what it sounds like, you know, a good recommendation would be pay attention to your 5-year update, or is it something along those lines?
Another way, I guess, to cut this short is that does it make any sense to, given the energy and the time that's been put into the task force examination and recommendations, that and given the wide ranging scope of the IMP, that would there be any desire on the part of the task force to get permission to be an ad hoc person to the workshops and to follow the process?
You're talking about like individuals from our task force potentially being taking on an involvement in the IMP workshops?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's beyond our scope, so
to me, that would be
those meetings would be public meetings.
Yeah, any individuals in this task force could participate in those meetings. When you do a renewal and update, would it also incorporate outside public opinion when you do those? So, 5 years from now, you're doing it again, you're updating, you're going
to
open up some meetings.
Some feedback, I mean, as part of the ETA's framework, it's a requirement in order to make that plan be acceptable.
But what you're asking is if the IMP goes with a committee structure as opposed to focus groups, should there be a transition of some representation from this group to that group?
Right.
Right.
Are you volunteering?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I certainly would stand ready to do that. I have great interest in it, and I think that the IMP is going to be a very extensive, well thought out plan that is going to incorporate anything we ever thought about.
Right.
And that, and I think, you know, the value I think it has is, again, that all the work we've done is to trying to transition and kind of follow it.
Dave says it's highly focused on compliance with regulation.
Well, planning to address all the regulatory requirements. Right now, the standard process is you get administrative orders, which have time frames and dollar values in them, and then you get compliance schedules and your permits. And you never know what's coming. And you might get a $30 million administrative order today, and 2 years from now you get a permit renewal, and it might have another $40 or $50 million compliance schedule for a 3-year time frame.
Right.
And with this, if you look forward at what should be coming towards you, then you can line all those dollars up and spread them out over time and still address all your maintenance and your infrastructure replacement.
Yeah, I kind of perceive.
You're looking at the whole thing, you know.
The difference is that this task force was more focused on the current challenges of the utility and what we're dealing with right now and how to address those issues. The integrated management plan is more focused on the future.
And
not that we didn't touch the future, but our view forward was not nearly as far as the view forward that the integrated management plan a while.
And, you know, all the recommendations that come from this task force, as far as what we need to do now, is going to be incorporating this integrated management plan as part of our regular system upkeep.
So I think we can recommend that they incorporate it, whether they accept it or not is up to the people doing the plan and the council. We can recommend.
And it would seem to me that there's much value in the workshops to be there, listen, see what's said, what's being done, and how it's facilitated. Because they're very extensive, I mean, they're covering all. A lot of it, you know, the stormwater's in there, and the we haven't touched on the TMDLs at all, and that's throughout the community and so on. But anyway, it's I just thought we were at that juncture and that to get a reading on it and. I'm the first one to admit it's not any part of our task, but it has a connection. And I know that different task force members have different passions as to what we've studied and gone on. And so it may be that maybe what's the consideration is that. We would ask David and Tad that the task force members get notification of all the workshops, and then each task force member can take it upon themselves as to what role or part they want to be in that.
Is there a specific recommendation that you would want to make around this, or?
I'd just say is a the first thing again I'll say it not the third time I've said it. This is not part of our duty, okay? But it has a connection, and I have high hopes for the IMP. And when you read the scope of services, the depth that it goes into and so on is a great analysis that's being done and will result in some valuable recommendations and the financing and so on. Maybe the way I'd leave it, Tracy, would be that as a minimum that they would give the task force members particular notice of the workshops.
We can do that.
Because what's going to happen, we're going to go away and they're going to continue on.
Right. Well, I think that
and this is a what we've done, this is a significant excursion that we've had, and it's there's a lot more that's going to come about what we did in that IMP, and for myself, I'll be interested to know.
Okay.
And I don't, and I'm not here to stick my nose in other people's business.
Okay. Other comments on the IMP for this evening? Right. Okay. I'm trying to see. I know that Carol sent out a list of resources this past week on readings for the impact fee discussions, but I'm having a hard time seeing it in my email.
Not the one that came out today?
I thought the ones that what came out today
was electric.
Was about regarding electric, yes.
FODAR stuff.
Yeah, great. That came out on Friday?
Or? It was before our last meeting. It was like last Tuesday or Monday or something.
Oh, that's right. We didn't. We just didn't get there last week. So the next thing I wanted to talk a little bit about was what we need to look at jointly to have those discussions and when to get those on the calendar. It seems like for electric, do we think we could get through that in the next two meetings? So the week of the 1st and the 8th?
I'd say so. Okay. A little bit, I know.
So that was a sort of a long list. We did get in a copy of this book that I think John had originally asked for.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we want to split this up, maybe decide on some chapters and get copies made to or PDFs to.
Yeah, surely there's like a CD in there with a PDF. Yeah.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I plan to use my Evelyn Wood speed reading technique.
Speed reader?
I don't know if you ever heard that Evelyn Wood.
I mean, I've seen the speed reading stuff.
You have to be a certain age to know what that is.
College, we just took the textbook underneath your pillow when you sleep.
You have a certain age to remember Evelyn Woods.
That doesn't
work. I took an Evelyn Woods. Yeah,
did
you?
I did.
Did it work? Did it work for you?
I think so.
Speed reader?
Yeah.
It was always intriguing. Like, I was like, it would be nice to be able to read really fast.
I can read fast. I just can't comprehend that fast. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Part of my brain doesn't work very good.
So did folks have time to review the... oh, it's because Chris sent it out.
You're talking about the email on July 18th?
Yes. Yep. Are there pieces of this that we want to take a look at? If they're not PDFs, I will get them to folks. But mostly I thought it would be useful for us to all sort of look at the same thing to inform our discussion, plus what we've generated off of looking at the other. I'm not suggesting all of this by any stretch. I just think it makes some sense too. And, you know, I know this has sort of a particular slant on it, so I need people to introduce other points of view to us also.
What's the question?
So are there pieces from this that we want to read? And if in addition, are there other recommendations that anybody here has that you'd like us to think we should take a look at? I think on this particular issue, working from a shared knowledge base of multiple perspectives on it is going to be the most productive.
I'll take a quick stab at what my thoughts are. And I'll be honest, I haven't read through all of this, and I've read through some of it. And it's just very interesting, it's very informative. And I guess my first thought is, this would be great to have for Columbia. It's not something I want to come up with on my own and make a recommendation on based on all these studies and different ways to look at stuff. And also like the sheet that I gave a while ago about the Northeast Area Plan, which was a traffic study that came up with similar impact studies based on specific stuff for an area, or like this is for a town, they look at a lot of different stuff, and you know, they've included some stuff in some of these studies and they haven't included other stuff. You know, they list stuff that was included and not included, and to me this would be great to have for Columbia. It's not something I want to dive into in great detail because we just don't have the resources or time as part of this task force, but a recommendation, I could see a recommendation recommending the Council Commission a study of this nature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'd almost take that a little further. I do like the concept. It's outside of really the scope, and because it's really master planning is what it is. It's almost like the city needs a master planner that looks at things at a relatively high level from, you know, farther out. It can bring things like this in more than just a single study that gets...
I think this study is focused on cost. And some of these are just residential development. Then we're looking at commercial stuff, which would be another thing, or institutional or industrial, whatever. But we do have pretty comprehensive planning stuff, and we do actually get the planning document. The Columbia Imagined was a massive planning document for the whole city, but it did not go into actual numbers. So that, to me, is a separate type thing that could be directly recommended, as far as just saying we need more master planning, or saying we need master planning with cost.
If you do a cost analysis, it's only good the day you print the report. And by the time people, it loses its luster really quickly. And if you have a master planning effort that could be focused towards the financials of infrastructure, it's an ongoing effort that gets repeated. You know, with kind of a rolling.
It's updated. It's so updated every regularly.
You know, every year, every other year, whatever is the appropriate frequency.
And that would be could be part of it.
Right. I agree with you. Okay. So let's ask ourselves. In all of our discussions since we started, what have we found out about the fees and impact fees and development fees? What have we found out?
Well, I think we can say that the current fees aren't high enough by themselves to cover. Okay.
I think you're right. We have found that there is some evidence that shows that the fees may not,
50 cent
are not in, not in balance with... our developments.
The capital improvement.
Capital improvement.
Right. I think that's probably true for sewer, full storm, and sanitary, roads, maybe not so much electric.
And roads, not maintenance so much as the capital improvement section.
The other thing that we have found out that's very complex.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I think what it does, Cody, at least exactly what you're saying, is that there needs to be an entirely a focus on what you want to call them, fees, impact fees, development fees, and so on, to create some methodology that will lead our community to create a better balance of who pays.
And balance is... It's part of it, and simplicity or easier to predict, or in some background as far as the methodology that was used to come up with that number.
Yeah. I get the sense that this committee, this task force, was brought together with the people because of their knowledge in technical related issues to the topic of infrastructure. And not very many of us have a lot of well versed in rate. And how rates are established, how fees are established. It's just an area that's just a different set of, it's a different skill set. And should that be a different task force, or different study, or ongoing study?
And that's kind of why, my draft study, we want to have a meaningful enough recommendation that it has value. But that's why on my draft type thing, I was just hesitant to actually put in what the number should be. It should be increased. We found that it's probably not high enough. It's weird how it's very negotiated, as opposed to in a really low fee, in a high negotiated power, but maybe the balance is there, maybe not. But I wasn't completely convinced that it's not balanced right now. It's just the way it's done is
unpredictable.
Yeah, it's just a little weird. But so the recommendation being that, we see these fees as being too low, we would recommend traffic studies, comprehensive traffic studies for regional areas to come up with impact fees for transportation. Or we do one of these cost infrastructure, they should hire somebody like this to prepare something like this for the city that we could, you know, justify the development fee increase to, you know, $3 a square foot, you know, because we have this. But I don't want to say it should be $3 a square foot. I don't think we're going to be able to put together something.
I don't think so either. I think you're right on. I mean, the idea is for this work is more about recommendations around adopting methodologies, what to prioritize and not prioritize.
Identify the problem.
Identify the issue.
Issue.
So, Cody, it sounds like you think this, the Austin case study is one that it might benefit all of it, inform our discussion to look at, long as the Northeast area.
I agree with him there. The other one is getting smart growth around your mind.
Is what?
Smart growth. I think it goes through a great dialogue and explanation of, you know, smart growth is more growth, but it has such a, creates a broad range of understanding of what that is.
What's the name of that?
Let's see here, Tracy. It's the myth of smart growth.
Oh, the myth of smart growth, okay.
And I think we may have a myth here in our community. But, okay, but I think everybody's got to decide what they want to read there and so on, but I think you're on the right track.
Thank you. I started to read some of those too, and I didn't get very far, but I do think we better read it, and it may help us generate some additional global recommendations, not specific to any one utility, but
global. Generally, right.
But I don't think that we have the skill set in the group to recommend specific rates without analysis.
I don't, yeah.
Okay.
Other than to state, like you said, that they're insufficient to provide the level of services that are expected.
Okay, now, needed. All right, I would differ just a little bit there, Greg, and the reason I would differ is that in all the utilities, there are cost-to-service studies done. And those are the foundations in which the utilities operate in terms of rate studies, or rates. And they are modeled after the industry. And so I see that different than this. And then I would agree with you. I don't think we're in a position to, you know, dabble with the rate configuration and so on.
I'll just use the example we talked about last week about the concept of having the sewer utility replace a certain percentage of their infrastructure on a yearly basis. But we didn't prescribe the rate to achieve that. We just said we're recommending that. To keep the system whole, this is what we recommend. How it's funded becomes a decision of the of an analysis or a recommendation to council.
Yeah, it's how they with the enterprise funding or bond funding or now the taking Katrina's recommendations on the basis of help me out the. The backflow or the so that equates to dollar amount, right?
I took that from Dave Sorrell's.
Right, and so, but it's the same thing. The only reason I mention it's the same thing that he's talking about is that that's what we need to pursue. That's what we feel the council needs to pursue to remedy that problem, and that equates to. To say $3 million, well, that would be probably funded from the enterprise funds. And so I think the closest we can get to a financial recommendation is that if that's $3 million and the utility has revenues of $30 million, then that would equate to a 10% rate adjustment on very simplistic terms. And then I think there has to be some some notion of our recommendations as to a financial impact, to realistically think that it can be done. Okay. See, like say your recommendation.
Well, I don't think I put a dollar figure on.
Okay, then the question becomes, should we?
Or, I think that is a good question.
Okay, then if we do, then we can equate it somewhat simplistically. But then if just say it's 10%, mm-hmm. then we'd ask ourselves, is that realistic? Yes, it is. That can be done. It may have to be phased in. But I think we have to be cautious that we make recommendations that are not financially feasible.
So I'm thinking I'm a little confused as to how that relates to the development fees question. Are you saying
no? It's not related to it. It's separate.
Okay.
I'm saying it's separate. It's not the same. And
but I don't know that we have the ability to do a cost evaluation on a recommendation. Of all the recommendations that we have.
Okay.
So to make your, is it feasible or not, we think it may be, but we're not 100% sure.
But then how do you measure the feasibility?
That's right.
Okay,
that's
you can, question. You can, myself, I think you can make estimations. Right. And, but.
John.
To your point, John, for a little bit, like the backflow preventers, what we would end up doing is developing a program, putting a cost to it, having a public hearing and council meeting, having council vote on it, saying this is the financial impact of, the public would come talk to that, and that's how you implement that program. It would just be done open-ended.
Yeah.
It would be have public input. You could actually put it to the vote of the people if they wanted to do it that way. If the council didn't want to take that on, they could put it to the vote of people to finance it that way. But the way we did the other one, we took it to a public hearing and we did it that way.
But it was city staff that kind of estimated,
yes.
They came up with the
yes.
overall
here's what we can
impact.
Afford. Here's okay. what we can afford for sump pump removal or downspout removal, those kind of things. And so that's how the process
works. I perceive, and maybe I'm naive to the process, but it is that we'll provide this whole list of recommendations to the council. The council will have a discussion and dialogue, and they're going to come back and they go, city staff, we want you to pursue this, 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 and bring back a cost impact of doing this in a program. And so
okay.
That's where that process will occur, not within this group to determine the feasibility. Right. We believe it is a good recommendation, and we think that it's feasible, but until analysis is done, mm-hmm. the program's developed, you won't know for sure.
Yeah. But then is it, how is that different than what we did on stormwater?
Well, we provided specific recommendation.
Yeah, but they all equated to, we understood how the rate structure worked and how much it would generate and what the future would be in terms of meeting the CIP.
Well, I think we specifically looked at rates where that was concerned, and we didn't necessarily look at rates when it came to sewer.
Yeah,
because that was part of the issue with them.
Is that we saw that the storm sewer was a more significantly underfunded utility than the others. And so I think that's why we kind of drew, and it was our first one, so we drilled down in more deeper layers than the others.
Is it possible to say for each recommendation or each pertinent recommendation, okay. on this one we have enough information that we feel like we can make some general cost okay. recommendations here, and on other ones we know this is important, here's maybe how much it costs another city, yeah. but we don't feel like we're in a place to do it. This kind of analysis to give a recommendation.
I would agree. And I think the other thing that on the sewer now that we have not done, that I think is paramount that we have to do, is that we need to create some fundamental understanding of the financial operation of the sewer utility that was similar to the sewer or the stormwater. And I think when we did the transportation, we had a good understanding of how that budget worked, how the CIP worked, and so on. And that I think that to know what the cash flow standing is, know what the debt is, and know what how the CIP's worked or is working, and how it's funded, and how the you know, I don't want to get it too complex, but we need some overview of that so that.
Right. We had tabled sewer for these last couple weeks to accommodate Bill.
Right.
Just flipping our draft report from storm sewer. We were overly specific on the recommendations.
I was just checking that myself. I don't think we made any specific.
No, I mean, there is a recommendation on basically that the city do a cost.
And the reason we didn't is that we created an understanding of how it works. And so as we moved away from it, we said, yep, they need to continue to move forward doing what they're doing, and here's our recommendations. Mm-hmm. But I think when we moved away from it, we had an understanding how those stormwater fees work, how they're going to be increased, and how they do their CIP, and what the cash flow is, which is minimal, or operating consideration, is in the stormwater. And I think we came away from the transportation with a clear understanding of how that sales tax works. And
So what you're saying is we're still missing that from
sewer.
Sewer.
Yeah.
And I would
agree. And electrical too.
So we talked previously about having Jim Windsor or somebody from come in to speak about sewer. Is that going to be productive? Glad to.
Is that going to be productive?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy is, he will get us informed in a heartbeat.
That part, yeah. I totally agree. that will be good. Okay. I know it will be productive. I also expect it will be a lively conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to really miss that one.
That sort of takes us back to the calendar. When do we want to try and do that? And we need to be able to work with Jim's schedule too, of course. It's July. Okay. It's not August 26th, it's July 26th. I can panic slightly less. Do you want to shoot for mid-month? Can we find out if you can go to mid-month?
We have a meeting tentatively scheduled for the 17th.
If you just have one, I can check on that one, or get a couple.
17th is the one way of the middle of August.
17 through the 24th, maybe? And the other sort of floating around there idea that we've talked several times about spending some time on is sufficiency of service testing. Is there a particular...
I think we needed to hear some more from what staff status with the last few document recommendations that have been directed their way on that.
Did you see...
Sending it, Cody.
I didn't make any sense. Before we discuss it, I want to know what the status of the city's planning staff is relation to what they've already been directed to do for that sufficiency or cost of... infrastructure scorecard or whatever it was.
Yep.
Right, that's the other.
I agree. Yep.
And I don't know if there is a recommendation there to be made.
There was it was Tom Radiman.
Radiman, yeah.
Radiman, that, you know, they do a sufficiency of services, which is not, you know, does that offer any?
Every department does a sufficiency of resources. Depending on what you call it and how formal you get with it, and is it a scorecard with a checkbox, and is there a rating, and is it objective, and do we need that? Is it too complicated?
Is there engineering analysis?
What is the repercussions of, you know, whatever comes of it? Yeah. Is it any more than what we already get from each of the departments when they review something? So, I think that's kind of what they were getting into when they started looking into the scorecard.
Yeah. So, I would think that the city's more in depth, but that's just the bias I have.
Well, let me get out of the scheduling poll to see what dates people are available in September and October, and put together our meeting topics that we've discussed so far. And it seems like there are two additional presentations we need: the one from Jim.
Okay.
And then from
and I would offer, not to make it any more complex, is it an option to have him talk about sewer, and also is it an option to have him talk about electric?
Is that an option? Okay. So he would talk about sewer and electric.
What was the response?
Yes.
And as far as planning goes, I mean, if they're available, that's fine. I don't know how in depth it would be. Maybe it will be good for them just to talk on a variety of different issues. If it's just specifically the infrastructure scorecard, maybe they could just provide a memo to us, unless we want to.
Okay.
I'm not trying to say don't have a memo. I was just thinking maybe we could just get a memo if there wasn't anything else specific we needed to hear from.
Status report.
Yeah. Okay. But by the nature of what we're doing, you know, it's a staff with a different point of view, the planning department, it would be relevant, and I'm sure they would have informative things to say.
Yes, I agree.
I guess I'd leave that.
I think that's a good alternative.
With the memo?
The memo. Get the memo.
Status report or something.
Okay, I'll check on that. Okay.
And I, you know, I would, I'd hate to miss the meeting that Jim's here.
I will do my best to, we might go ahead and wait as long as the 30th, everybody is scheduled to be around.
Yeah.
August 30th. Okay, so we ended up talking about the second item on new business quite a bit in terms of what the public hearings and such would look like. So our final agenda item is the presentation from last week. Are there specific questions? Since we have Ryan here, it was very...
Okay.
And I know John sent, you sent some questions out, and I got those back today and sent them around.
But I have another discussion to make here that's in terms of electric, and it has to do with the electric transmission line, the 161 kV transmission line, here's the way it starts for me, that Mr. Ryan was here last week, and he gave a presentation, and a part of his presentation was that what I took away from it, that he revealed to us information that I feel that puts the, when you stand back away from it, that the city is at risk, and that the other thing, and so when I'm involved and I see that our city and the public is at risk, that I have to approach it differently. And the reason I have to approach it differently is I'm a licensed professional engineer. And it, my being a licensed professional engineer requires that I protect the public's health and welfare. And that so I have to come to grips with that as to how would I deal with that, and what role I would have, and that I would, what can I do to get myself better informed, reanalyze the problem, and to see if I could draw any different conclusions. And so the matter for me comes down that I've had the pleasure to serve on the Water and Life Advisory Board. I've done that for 26 years, and there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of projects, and it spans a long piece of time that you get to see things evolve and how they evolved, and so I have the experience of how that's been for the city's water and light department, and I'll say the light department, electric department, and so. And so what? How is that important? Well, it's important that I knew how the project before this one was developed and how it evolved. And with the notion of what was going to come after that project. And that basically that 161 kV transmission line swept around the southeast quarter of our city. Came around southwest, came across, or southeast, I'm sorry, southeast, came across 63 highway and landed in the Grindstone substation. And that to finish that loop, that we would have to do the southwest quadrant. And that had different analysis to it and engineering and so on. And that given the Grindstone pumps, substation, that it's revealing the pole size and the line size, and that it leaves there and goes over to the shopping center and the big poles, and that and there's other places in our community that have transmission lines, and that the one that we see very common is when we come up to the intersection of Chapel Hill Road and Scott Boulevard, that those are, for lack of a better term, pretty hefty poles, transmission line poles. Okay, and so, and so we started in 2007 to move to the next project, the next completion of the transmission line, and it was done in a very thoughtful way, and that the planning was in depth, the public involvement was in depth, and to get some measure of what the energy and the investment that that I would direct you towards this January the 19th document that's created by the staff. That again, the documents all the aspects of that project in terms of public input, public notification, EMF, routing, and just the whole nine yards, and that but prior to that, as a planning process that within the electric department, that this project was incorporated into the CIP and ultimately into the bond issue, and was very distinct in the bond issue, and that how it was to be done, and how was the peach tree substation, and leaving it, and so on, and that that analysis was done, and so on, and that then that was taken to the voters, and a part of that effort that went to the voters is that there was a ballot committee created. I was on that ballot committee, and we were very thoughtful in terms of what it would take to inform the electorate, our citizens, as to what was represented there, and that it essentially meant a rate increase to pay the bonds, and that it should be noted that the ballot committee was represented by the council person from the 5th Ward, that the ballot committee was represented by the council person from the 6th Ward, and that it was my reflection that they were very involved in that effort. And then election day came, and we found out that 68% of the people were in favor of that. As a part of the bond issue, and that they were willing to take on the rate increase, and that I find that 68% is a substantial margin, and that but on the other hand, that you recognize that there's 32% that may have had other thoughts, but the majority rules, as we know in our democracy. Okay. And so then we move away from that, and that there's the notion that in order to continue the public, to inform the public, and more so those ones that could be impacted by the project, that there was this public meeting held in September of 2015 that that through marketing and other notions of how best to inform the public, that one would give a display of how driving down the road, how the poles would, the transmission poles would look to you as you would traverse the, going down Grindstone, Nifong, Water School Road, hang a right, go down Scott Boulevard, meet back up. And that was a very useful tool, so one that could actually visualize. The other part of that, also visualization, was that all the existing electric lines along that routing were to be undergrounded to get rid of the clutter and all the other cables that are on those poles, and that this is the way that it's done, and that it does not go unrecognized that different citizens would be impacted based upon where they lived. And there was, has always been concern of that. And some of the concern that's, that comes out firsthand is that they would could possibly be subjected to EMF, and that also that it could have some impact on their property values. And but this has been thought out, and that there was that through experts and study that found that that was not was not totally valid, that would occur. And so then, as we know, that there was various public opinion brought about as to the differences that they had with some of the conclusions that the city had made, and it was primarily on EMF and also how it impacted potentially schools and children, and that's very concerning, and I've always been concerned about it. In fact, I was concerned about it, about the project before, and then visited with the experts and the literature and found out again the conclusion that no, that there was no evidence proved worthy that it would not have that impact. So then the council has passed the rate increase shortly after the bond issue was approved, and that we're currently paying 3% for the payment on those revenue bonds, and that and so basically the city, the council has put the project on hold. Okay, and to make this brief, okay, and so that that drives me to more examination, trying to satisfy myself as to what has there been additional information brought forward through those efforts of concern that are compelling enough to make one change course.
Do you think there are?
Pardon?
Do you think there are compelling?
No.
Yeah.
Emphatic no. Okay, and so why would I say that? Okay?
I am with you.
Okay, okay. Just let me, if you bear with me. And, yeah. And that, and I take this a great concern, and again, that I, again, as a professional engineer, take this as a duty, and that, what can I best do for the public and the protection of their health and their safety? And so, once again, I went to the literature, and I find out that EMF, electric magnetic fields associated with use of electric power, June 2002. Nope. The New England Journal of Medicine, July the 3rd, 1997. Power lines, electric devices, and extremely low frequency radiation by the American Cancer Society. Nope. Adult cancers near high voltage overhead power lines, March 2013. No. The New England Journal of Medicine, power lines, cancer, and fear, July of 1997. No. Distance from residents to power lines and risk of childhood leukemia, a population-based case control study in Denmark, February 2014. Magnetic fields, childhood cancer, the epidemiological investigation of effects of high voltage underground cables, September 2015, no. Voodoo science, the road for foolishness to fraud by Robert Park, no. And that's been entered into the minutes of the Waterline Advisory Board. All those documents are available. Also, it's my, in terms of the property values, I have consulted appraisers, and that has given the real estate environment in our community that we find that that the price of real estate is on the upswing, and that appraisals show that all properties sold are generally have more value, and that the connection with power lines that we have in the community is not a consideration. And that myself, I've dealt with right-of-way acquisition in Missouri, North Dakota, Montana, and again find that no bearing that if it could be available, it would be interesting if someone could bring forth appraisals that would show that that would be good. Okay. Then I would ask myself, what would other communities, what are other communities doing? And I think that's always a source of good information that you would do. Okay. And so I have taken it upon myself. I've been to Nashville, Tennessee. Since the 1st of January, I've been to Nashville, Tennessee twice. I've been to Jacksonville, Florida. I've been to Sarasota, Florida. And I have been to Orlando, Florida. And each occasion, I've taken the time to personally examine the placement of high voltage transmission lines in residences, hospitals, and schools. And to document that, I've taken pictures of those locations. And when I was in Sarasota, Florida, I ran upon a Ford Power and Light truck one day, and they happened to, I was talking to them, and so I went to the office and got an appointment with the transmission manager for Ford Power and Light in Sarasota to discuss with them what we do, how is it any different than what they do, and the conclusion was not any different. That's the way that that's done. And so these again reveal to me that again there's no compelling evidence that we would do anything different. Also, I get confused when Columbia Public Schools purchase a piece of property at Vineyards that has the 161 kV transmission line that goes right by it. Also has an 89 kV transmission line from Moon Electric that's attached to those 8 poles that goes by the school. And that, how different is that school property different than Mill Creek? All the other schools, that why it's not a concern there, why is it a concern at the other location? And so it brings me again to an examination of this in some depth, and to validate it and so on, that I think again that there's been no compelling evidence that would lead one to change course of action than what was planned and voted on. And given that, and that Ryan illustrated to us, given the substation to Peachtree, and didn't get into exactly the transmission line, but it does have an impact. And this involves our entire community. It's just not the Southwest sector. This is something for the betterment of our community for time to come. And that it does impact the downtown. And so my reason for bringing this up is that I think it should be a recommendation that council move ahead with option A.
I'd agree to the contents that our scope is the downtown area. But in order to build the capacity in the downtown area, that project has to be built. The 161 has to be built.
And the substation.
Right, and the substation. So based on the scope of our, I'd almost structure the recommendation, not that we're supporting route the A plan or the B plan or whatever plan, but the Mills Creek substation needs to be built and fed to allow power delivery to the downtown area to meet the future growth needs of the city. Because our scope is on, not the entire city, it's defined in the downtown area.
Right, and I recognize that. Mm-hmm. But that in order to electrically to configure the remaining substations and do what we need is we need that transmission line.
Great.
I also think that it's worth addressing in our more general recommendations that we have a public process in place that is established and vetted and regularly sort of updated and paid attention to, and that was used to pass this bond in the first place. And when we passed it in the first place and made the plan, we made a commitment to everybody in the community about what we were going to be doing. And I think it's worth examining the process of who's most effective at getting things revisited when their ox is getting gored and not. And maybe there's a process point to make about the fact that that was a process. We went through it. We did due diligence to it to the extent that it passed overwhelmingly. And I'm not sure why we're revisiting.
Yeah. Okay. So
in line, though, that we, this task force will have to, if we want to draft a recommendation, I think we should have some recommendation as it relates to the downtown area that we don't politicize what is going on. I mean,
No. We're not. I'm not politicizing right. This one iota. This is factual, technical, in summary, what I'm telling you. As a licensed professional engineer, I have a duty and responsibility, and I'm warning you.
Well, I agree with the risk. I wholeheartedly agree with the risk. What I'm saying is that the due diligence of the route was passed. There's people that have taken issue with it.
And that's fine.
And they have that right to take
that issue. They sure do. And respectfully.
I mean,
And respectfully.
They had an entire process that they had to go through to take issue with it, and they lost, right? Like, sometimes that happens.
To Greg's point, though, I don't know how we can justify. I agree with you completely. But as far as the mayor, the task force is concerned, how can we say what the route should be?
We can't say what the route should be.
You said it should be route A.
Option A.
Which establishes the route.
But then again, it's only that is the documented, approved
unless we
plan.
Unless we could somehow wrap it into that this would get more power to downtown sooner. And so we think this is the quickest way to achieve this would be to
authorize
route A. If that is
that's
a fact.
Cost-effective.
If that is a fact.
Make a recommendation without specifically saying plan A, we just need to state that the transmission upgrade needs to be implemented, including the Mill Creek substation to allow capacity feed to the downtown area, which is within our scope, without going and defining what that is, because that's already a process in place that's outside of our scope. We're not saying which way it just has to be done, and the time frame necessary to meet the growth of the community.
Yeah, and once again, I don't want to be alarming. I don't want to be concerning. I don't want to be matter of fact. And I've had someone tell me and demonstrate to me and document to me we're at risk, and that I'm performing my duty and putting you on notice, then you get to determine your fate.
But I would also like to...
And see, you don't... Excuse me. Sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
It's okay. Just as a process issue, people should be able to expect that they're going to go through the public vetting process for taking a project on, and if it's passed, both by council and by election, then they can depend on it happening. I mean, that's part of transparency and...
And see, we
and openness in government.
The other thing we have not talked about is the multitude of unintended consequences
changing,
and that see what we don't see. We all know about Murphy's Law, right? You see, we haven't see if this goes on an ice storm, a windstorm, bad weather is to put us at. They've indicated to us that we will be in peril and we're at risk, and that it's my duty to inform you, and that there is something in place to take action, and that you get to determine your own destiny.
Well, I agree.
Okay.
The challenge is that the. We've been defined a scope for this task force, and so we have to structure whatever recommendation or comment on that based on that limit. But in order to achieve the growth in capacity in the downtown area, what you described, the whole process has to be built. It has to be implemented in order for that to occur.
Right.
So
yeah, I think
we could easily structure a very good recommendation that would state that without
I'll work on that.
Offending other people.
There you go.
Well, you're never going to. I mean, you're going to offend somebody.
I'll do that, Craig.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, thank you for the time.
Yep.
And I think this is a big deal for our community and our future, and how this will
our
work.
Kids.
Pardon?
And our kids.
and their kids and see it's the university. It's the there was a buy-in by the county commission, there was a buy-in by Boone Electric, and our neighbors and so on, and electrically you've got to, when you look at that's the our versatility, and to have a complete loop around the community is just how could it be any better? And that is, we got a method to pay for it. It has become problematic, and I respect opinions. I have taken this in earnest as to how could one come up with different conclusions. I've examined it in great detail, and I've read all those reports, studied it, and I find it very difficult. But I guess that's my problem. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, are there other task force or staff comments for this evening? Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much.